Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's show edition of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. This is the show where we disseminate information, discuss, and answer questions regarding building communities. We express, and our motto is, you either control the community that you live in or move to a community of which you can control. It is time for us to start to build and to unify and to show results for what we know and what we're able to do. We can no longer make excuses for other people preventing us from building for ourselves. That being said, we are emphasizing and inviting brothers and sisters who have had difficulty and are not having success controlling the communities in which they currently live. And we invite you to the Brownwood, Georgia area, which we call the Muhammad Farms community. In addition, there are brothers and sisters who are having success controlling the communities where they live. One such community is the Greenville, Mississippi area, that's surrounded by traditionally black towns and a high population of black people. It's just a matter of us organizing, and also there's land there. We can organize and we can feed ourselves there. So we are honored to have as our guest for tonight's show Brother Kareem Muhammad. Brother Kareem is of the representative of the Greenville, Mississippi Local Organizing Committee. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Kareem.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Carlton.
Brother Kareem, it's very nice to have you back on our show. We had you back in June, It seems like it was just yesterday because you shared so much information about the progress of the local organizing committee and the various expos and town halls that you're having. And we understand that you recently had an event there with Sister Ava. You had an agricultural conference and also a separation conference. And at your leisure, brother, we'd like for you to share, bring us up to speed on the conference and just bring us up to speed what you all are doing and whatever you want to share with us of your progress in Greenville.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you, Brother Carlton, once again. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, most merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah and that Muhammad is his messenger. I greet the family once again and greet words of peace and paradise of Assalamu Alaikum. Beloved, it's always an honor and a privilege just to be a servant, just to be one conscious today, to know that we have a man in our presence, the Honorable Minister Farrakhan, and to be aware that he is our leader, our teacher, our guide today, and to just to be able to know that he's that and be willing to help and serve him. It's an honor and a privilege just to be that. And so I thank Allah each and every day, brothers, just to have the opportunity to even say that I know that he is who he is and who
That's
and
right.
what he represents to us. And I thank Allah every day that I have a little sense to know that there's something that I should be doing to try to help him in his mighty work. So I thank Allah each and every day for that. And as well as what we had going on this week, it wasn't the Greenville area. Greenville was in cooperation with the Holly Spring and South Haven study group up there with hard-hitting Brother Andre, who has been blessed to just come on his post up in that area and has not sat down since he's been on that post. And so he let us know that he had an idea of bringing in Sister Ava. And so we wanted to support him in that endeavor because of some of the things that we have been doing here with the LOC. And so we supported that. So we're going to talk briefly today about what went on there, as well as you said, some of the initiatives that we talked about last time we was on that came out of the 2018 Agriculture Conference and Economic Summit. Which all leads right into the theme that Sister Ava came to Mississippi for. It was a blessing for us to be graced with Sister Ava's presence here, who is the Honorable Minister Farrakhan National Spokesperson. So we know that when she came, we had his spirit and his blessing in Mississippi with us. And so we know that when we're talking about separation, which what she came here and doing, she said that this was number 18 on her tour of separation town hall meetings. And she was able to do that in Mississippi. And she said she felt that this was the best one yet. One of the major reasons she spoke to that was that because we had it in, I think it was Clearwater, Mississippi, which is an all-black town. And it was in reference to what we're trying to do, which is talk about separation. And so she just was elated with the fact that it was a full crowd. I mean, it was packed that night. And therefore, it showed that the interest of black people toward this narrative that we're talking about, which is separation. I thank Allah that she thought enough of me to ask me to do a part, and Brother Andre and Brother James, Sister Patricia, all of them up in that area who did a magnificent job, along with Minister Anthony out of Memphis and Minister Larry, in putting this together. Thought enough of me to ask me to do a piece with that, and I was supposed to do around the history of Mississippi. And so, and when we was dealing with that, our objective was to talk about the fact that when we're talking about separation, it's not a new phenomenon as a people. And the things that we talked about Saturday was the fact that when we're talking about separation, our people that were kidnapped and brought over here has always resisted this slavery, this captivity, whether it was mild resistance or the highest form of resistance, which was armed struggle. We always resisted it. But we talked about the fact that there was always a group of our people that we all of us need to continue to study it, and those were what were called the Maroons, who when they were hitting the shores of this country, when they hit the shores of this country and they would look for the hills and for the woods and for the swamps, immediately as they had the opportunity, they would break and get up out of here and get on into them hills and them swamps. And they lived in them swamps. And they built families in them swamps and them hills and them forests and them wilderness. And we said that they did that for 10 years, for 20 years, for 30 years. Some lived 40 and 50 years in there, all the way up until emancipation, the Emancipation Proclamation, and they walk right on up out of there and continue to fight for the liberation and the separation of our people. So separation has always been on the forefront of our people since being here. But I said that during the 17th and the 18th century, we didn't use the term separation, though the language was, if you look at James Ingram or Henry Adams or Denmark Vesey, or if you use Martin Delaney or any of those individuals, David Walker, there, when their language and when their petitions, they talked about separation. They talked to the government about desiring to go and get a place of their own where our people can live peacefully and govern on our own. They talked about separation, but the concept that they used back then was the term called immigration, because the strongest weapon that we had as a people during this time against the tyranny and the oppression that we had was our feet. Whenever we really wanted to do something, we could get up and walk away. And so that was the biggest thing. So immigration just simply meant that we were able to get up and move from one place to another. And so that is one of our biggest struggles that we had during this period of time. We wanted, and we talked about immigration. We talked about going to different parts to get away from these Europeans. There was another term that was used, which was called immigration, as far as migration. Migration was what we did, but immigration was something that Europeans coined the phrase, because as I said, during the time of the 18th century, when they blacks started being manumitted and blacks started talking about on a larger term about equality and want something of our own, these good old liberal whites, what they call abolitionists and so forth, the Clays out of Kentucky or the Penns out of Pennsylvania or the Lords out of England and all them so-called good, or what they call fair play segregationists, they start wondering, well, what are we going to do with these Negroes? So they said, well, what we'll do, we'll go take some land over in Africa, write a provisional constitution, tell them that they're free, and give them and call it Liberia. That was really emancipation, you see. And so that was immigration. But, what we wanted was migration. We wanted to get away from them. And so we always tried to get away from them. But one of the things that happened to us as a people is that whenever white folks felt that we were trying to do something on our own, they would always ease up a little bit and start giving us a little leverage. And so they would do different things to us. And so a lot of our people, mostly they were mulattoes, they were the children of the slave master that had elevated a minister, Farrakhan called them, the Negroes that always were the one that was allowed to live around the barrel, on the top of the barrel. They never got out of the barrel. They just would live around the rim of the barrel. They would always be able to get a little bit extra, so they always would be the one that was crying about when the white man would give them a little something. They would settle down on their plight in their fight for migration. But our people will always be trying to fight for migration. And so what happened was during the Civil War, right after the Civil War came about, black people started seeing that white folks started coming at it again, started oppressing and suppressing us once again. And so you've seen the fight for migration and petitioning out once again for us to get land for ourselves. And so we petitioned this government for Oklahoma, but they refused to give it to us. But see, when the difference between us and the Europeans, Sister Ava, she talked about that. When they went up in Utah, the white folks went up in Utah, they went up in Utah and they took Utah. They didn't ask this government for Utah. They fought for Utah and took it. But as black people, we couldn't do that. And so we always try to petition so you would see us trying to get away from this country, trying to get away from these people, but they would always give us certain type of compensation for that. And so around 1865, 1866, we really start talking about we wanted to get away. You start seeing the 13th Amendment, the 14th Amendment, the 15th Amendment start coming into play. You start seeing the Civil Rights Bill of the 1870. And one of the major things that occurred was in 1870, Horace Revel was given the seat of the senator in this country. There's never a black man had never been seated into any form of Congress. And so black people start feeling like maybe they're going to get some fair play in this country. And so you begin to see migration settling down once again, and black people start trying to get along with white folks once again. But white folks were still trying to work. And one thing about Mississippi didn't play that. See, down here, it wasn't no you was going to oppose white supremacy. White folks in Mississippi was always the battleground for white supremacy. You did not oppose it down here. I don't care whether you was white, black, whatever you was, you had to go along with what they call Southern culture. And so area, in regards to what happened down in this area, you always was going to obey the rules down here. And down here, you either went along with white supremacy or you learned to get around white supremacy.
Yes,
and
sir.
So the
yes,
biggest
sir.
Key with us as black people down here, the only time you would see us make any leverage is that when we would have the numbers. And so like in the Delta, we always were like outnumber black white folks 7-1. But when the 1870s and Reconstruction came about, white folks were still working hard to take everything back. And so by 1877, Sugar Honey Iced Tea hit the fan. And all the white folks started taking everything back. See, during the 1870s, we had a little glimpse of power, because the only power that you can have is when you got a military. And so during the 1870s, we had a glimpse of a military, because during the cavalry in the military during that time, it was 10 cavalries, and the black folks had 3. We was a third of the cavalry. We had the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th. So we had some form of a struggle of power. It wasn't much, but we had something. But we were still finding ourselves fighting a whole complete government. But
yes, sir.
By 1877, it was all over with. So black folks, once again, start talking about migration, getting away from that. So you start seeing in 1885, they start negotiating. Black folks that were still had a little power in politics, they start negotiating. They start making deals. And whatever they could get out of it, they would start making deals with white folks.
Yes,
and
sir.
So that's where the Mount Bayou, and we use Mount Bayou as a model for our
yes,
separation
sir.
Because Mount Bayou was a model that used black folks said,
yes, sir.
If we're going to make a deal, let's make a deal. But ideally that what we're going to do, we want to say that we want total separation from you.
Yes,
we
sir.
We want to be.
Mr. Brother Green.
Well, we will not.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead on.
Yes, sir. I just want to say thank you very much. You set the historical premise. And for those of us who weren't familiar with that part of history, and I learned a whole lot myself, you know, those details that you shared. But what I'd like to do, brother, you know, pardon me for interrupting you, but I really wanted to, if you can go ahead and get into some of the details of the Separation Conference, what was the program about, and the relationship between the Separation Conference and the town hall and the agricultural conference that you're doing, because you told me that they were related. Could you talk about that, please?
Absolutely. Yes, and once again, Sister Ava did a magnificent job in her presentation around it, and one of the major pieces that she mentioned was that we are on what is called a referendum. And she talked about the fact that in the Final Call newspaper and in Mohammed Speaks, for over 60 years, we've been addressing the issue of separation, and that now we are putting it to the people to make a vote so that our people can make a decision whether or not they want to separate, and that the Honorable Minister Farrakhan has presented to the United States government that we want 8 states and that we want the best states here in the South. And so and with that, then we and the Nation of Islam and those that are working toward this form of separation must begin to talk about what does this look like? What does self-government look like? And how do we begin to talk about self-government? And some of the questions in the town hall meeting that came out of it spoke to that. Things such as, how does the youth get involved in self-government? How do we control our land? And what about if will white folks try to harm us in that? And so these were some of the concerns. And Sister Ava was saying the major point about the town hall meetings is, one, to begin to talk about this referendum that we're going to try to pull to the people to vote, but also so that we can get a pool as to what is the mindset of our people, what are their concerns, so we can begin to develop an outline and a plan of action so we can move forward. And so one of the pieces that we're talking about and the fact that we had it in that city was the fact of resources. We have to begin to talk about economic control and controlling our resources. And so it connected right back to what we did here in Mississippi in 2018, which was the Agriculture Conference and the Economic Summit, and some of the initiatives that came out of that, because that was the whole purpose of us having that summit and economic summit in the agriculture, was to define a blueprint and to talk about having a core group of individuals that would come together and talk about land. That's why we did the agriculture first, to talk about land. Because in order to talk about separation, we got to be talking about feeding our people. We got to be talking about land where we got resources, where we can do things, right. We can house our people. And so the agriculture conference that came out talked about some of those initiatives, as well as then the economic piece. And the concept was to develop a core group of individuals that would develop a blueprint that would talk about the agriculture piece of manufacturing and distribution, land production, crop production. And the economic piece was a core group that would put together an economic blueprint around finances, around government contracts, and other aspects. And so one of the major pieces that I am very pleased about that came out of that was called the 80-20 plan. And Minister Farrakhan and the nation, we are working strongly in that area around that. The 80-20 plan, if I may, briefly talks about black people, what we decided to do, that we would be committed. And I use the word commitment and not support. We'd be committed to spending 80% of our dollars with black people. And then we said that at the Economic Summit that for the most part, what we tend to do is that we want to say that we are support a black person. And so support me, I might go buy a bar of soap from you and I won't see you for another year. But your business is not going to survive like that. We need commitment
right.
from our people. And so that is what the 80-20 plan consists of, a commitment that our people are committed to spend 80% of our dollars with black people. And so it's set up on the fact that we may not start being able to be successful with the 80 concept. But if I'm committed to that and I start with 30%, then the other concept is that we have to work on product. What type of products do we have that we offer to our people that we can now begin to market to our people? So maybe this in 2 months from the 30%, I can go up to 40% because I have now have more information about other types of products. One of the key components with that is that Brother Gerald and I and others, we talked about what we do with Dr. Wrigley and with the staple good product. See, this is nation building, and this is when we're talking about referenda and our people giving our people a choice. We got to be able to let our people know what they are choosing for. And so if they got Walmart, they got Kroger that they think that they have something. But if we don't let them know that we have a staple good that we are working every day with, that every
right.
quarter, every quarter of every quarter in a calendar year, we are distributing throughout this country and now abroad with with Dr. Wrigley and Sister Ann Initiative, along with those that work with him. We are distributing over 20 tons of food and products throughout this country. Now, that is an initiative that's got to be talked about. And see, when people begin to understand that, now they can kind of see the picture of what nation building look like and what separation look like and the possibility of being able to feed themselves. And so this is some of the what we got out of the economic and the agriculture piece in the 80-20 plan. And I am suggesting that all of us begin to look at that plan, discuss it, and we can begin to talk about if we need to tweak it and move forward with it. But it's definitely something that's workable. The Honorable Minister Farrakhan has most of the labels that we have to do a report every month on how many products that we are buying from black people, what products we are buying. And so it's in an alliance with that, this 80-20 plan. And so it's something that we need to be talking about, and it's in alliance with the separation. So we start going forward with this town hall meetings, then we can have something that when we have these dialogues that the people concerns are about, now we have something to counter the concerns, and we can answer some solid questions that can resolve their concerns. And now when they start voting, they can have a conscious vote and a powerful vote, and they'll be informed and educated.
Praise be to Allah. We thank you very much for sharing that information. It's exciting to hear the progress that's being made, especially near and in the traditionally black towns, the all-black towns there. Right now, we are 30 minutes into our show. So right now, we are going to open up the phone lines. If there's any brothers and sisters out there that have questions or comments about what Brother Kareem has shared with us, please press the 1 on your keypad, and we will open. So right now, we already got somebody. Looks like we have Dr. Wrigley. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Wrigley.
Wa alaikum salam.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam, Doc.
Yeah, you did a great job, but you made a little mistake, and you know mistakes do not exist in the Nation of Islam. Let me correct you on your math there. It's not 20 tons. It's 40 tons twice a year, okay? So, and over 60 cities from the tip of Florida, from the bottom of Florida to the state of Washington, to Boston, to California, to Chicago, and every place in between. So
thank you, Doc.
We are trying to demonstrate what we can do, and then to grow from that into something bigger. But you're at this time, people need to see an example of what can be done when we do things in a unified and a collective manner, and understand that, you know, when we separate, we don't necessarily have to starve to death. I really think that that's a, in our minds, we have forgotten that we were brought over here to teach farming and agriculture and making clothes, I mean, and building homes. I mean, we built the White House. I mean, they brought us over here. We were skilled to build their world for them, and now we are afraid to separate because we think that we can't survive. Well, you know, it's kind of hard to catch up with somebody when half of your people are working full-time for the other side. In other words, the white man's world is being supported by our labor still. So we're working for his world. He won't give us a part of his world. He forces us to pay more money for everything in his world, but don't pay us enough money for our work. And he continues to make us a slave, and we are helping him make us a slave. And then when black folks say we need to separate, then somebody talking about, what we going to do? Well, one thing is stop working for him. We really would appreciate it if you would stop working for him. Then we can find something to do. But here we are trying to talk separation, and yet the people who don't understand why we should separate are the ones who's working for the enemy. You're working for the enemy. You don't want to separate because you're making money, but then you're going to show him up as doing something that we can't do when you know you are the one who's allowing him to do that. So we just crazy as hell. So, you know, I thank you and Minister Ava and other people for going around the country. I know every stop that she makes, she always brings up someone to bring up the local history so that they can see that we have not been sitting here in the dust doing nothing in America. It's just that every time we do something, they come with something to tear it down. I didn't know about the three cavalries, 8th, 9th, and 10th cavalry, Brother Kareem. I didn't know that history at all. But that's very, very interesting. So, yeah, so some of these histories, we're going to have to, in fact, to write these things down and put them in a book all around the country where she has toured. Those people who come forth with those pieces of history from the area need to be put together so everybody can see. Look, we ain't been sitting here twiddling our thumbs. We've been working real hard, some of us for and some of us against. But we've been working real hard since we've been here. So thank you very much, Brother Kareem, for coming on the show and passing on this information.
Thank you, Dr. Eckler. And if I may briefly, in reference to what you were saying, is that we use Mount Bayou down here as a model. And going back to what you were saying, Isaac Montgomery, when he got off the train with some of the people that he got off with, he said that the history said that he was looking around, it was nothing but a wilderness. Nothing but trees and forests. And he seen the eyes of all the people, the brothers that was looking at him. And these are the words he said, similar to what you just said, Dr. Rickley. He said, I know that what you're looking at is nothing but wilderness and forests as far as you can see. He said, however, this whole country used to look like this. And our fathers and our grandfathers carved this country up and paved the ways and made the roads and built the bridges. He said, isn't it time that we do something for our own selves? And they said that they all got up and got their shelves and went and built Mount Bayou.
Praise be to Allah. That's a great story. That's a great story. And he's correct. You know, what do you mean we can't, what we going to do? Yeah, you did it for him. That's why he got what he got.
That's right.
You did it for him on the duress.
That's right.
So now we're going to have to tie ourselves to the plow. But, you know,
that's right.
Like you said, there's always them cliffhangers or them fence straddlers who be given a few more pieces of biscuit and a little bit more butter to put on the biscuit, who could telling us, oh, well, it's all right. It's going to be all right. Yeah, it's all right for you, but you just being used to slow us down, okay?
Yeah.
So those are the ones, the half-breeds, the mulattoes, those who masters is giving a little bit of biscuits to, something to preachers. Those are our main enemies who keep telling us, well, keep hope alive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when Farrakhan say, look, let's do for self. All of a sudden, it's like, what's a pipe dream? That's a pipe dream. How come it's a pipe dream when we say we got to do for self, but keep hope alive in a white man? Go to hell. Okay? Go to hell. It's a pipe dream when we talk about it, but you want to keep hope alive in that which you know ain't never done right for you, but you're trying to keep hope alive? Go to hell. And so I am so thankful for people like Minister Ava who can put it in a,
yes,
in a more refined manner than I can,
yes,
because I might got to get started cussing when I come out and start talking to these Negroes, because they get on my nerves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Keep hope alive. And for what? More lynching? More police brutality? Keep hope alive? How come we can't have hope in ourselves? You can't have hope in yourself, but you can have, keep hope alive. You mean keep hope for the white man, but not in ourselves. Go to hell. Thank you very much. I'm going to go.
We'll look
it's not on you, brother.
There
brother.
You go. Yes, sir. So, brothers and sisters, any comments or questions? The lines are open. Press the 1 on your keypad, and you will be recognized to give a comment or ask a question. Meanwhile, Brother Kareem, the last time you were on the show, you emphasized how many other community organizations, non-Muslim community organizations, were involved in your coalition and how you were all working together. Were they what community organizations may have been present at the last event you had, the town hall, and how was it received by them? And are you all talking about pooling your resources and supporting each other?
I'm glad you asked that question, Brother Carter. That's a powerful question. And that is what made the town hall meeting so successful this time, was because of the collaboration and the coalition building. We had the new Black Panther Party that was there, that sits at the LOC table. We have another organization, Strong Black Pan-African Organization, that's working with us now out of that area, which is the Black Liberation Movement. And they are strong up in that area. And one of the key components that we have been successful in working with them is, when we're talking about coalition building economics, is that they have the water. And we are now distributing a 9.5 or 8.9 alkaline water out of that area up there through the liberation movement. And so those are the type of relationship that we want with that up in that area. And so they came on board with us, and now we're getting ready to move up in that area and establish some LOCs up in that area. But we still got Mount Bayou is working strong with the LOC in that area. We've been working strong with the Juneteenth organization and with the reparation organizations. And one of the key components with Minister Farrakhan and how he has shown us how to sew all this together, because when we're sitting at the table with some of these organizations, they still got their own agenda. They still talking about asking these Europeans to petition to do this or petition to do that. And without the minister's guidance, we wouldn't know how to, like Dr. Wrigley said, we'd be cursing them out and we'd probably be hitting them upside the head. But the minister, through the 9 ministries and up under the LOC, he's showed us how to utilize. And when he talked about how he was able to work with SCLC and finance their struggle and not have no agenda at hand. And then the key component that we have using now is this national agenda. And that's that manual that came out of the Million Man March, and it started being developed in 97. And we finished it in 05. And so that is the blueprint that we all sit at the table as our manual. And with inside of it, it speaks to the need of the Black man, to the brown man, to the red man, and even to the poor white folks, you see. And so we just have to now, when we sit in there, be able to develop an outline that speaks to whatever our needs is, whether it's healthcare, whether it is education, And again, it goes directly back to the nine ministries. So we are working hard down here. And again, we boast that we have the largest LOC chapters going on. And the people, but it's because of Mississippi. When you look at the history of Mississippi, man, Mississippi has always been. UNIA had the largest chapters down here. You see, and so they just moved in a different manner than what they did up north and in the east. You know, they didn't have the big parades and things like they did in New York. They just sent the money up there. And so, you know, we're working hard, but we are working on the level. We got the land. You know, we're still trying to work with the farming land with Brother Musa and Brother Gerald. And, when we talked about that value-added piece from the agriculture piece, Brother Gerald and myself, we began to go to work. And now Brother Gerald and Sister Linda have established this, the dry beans packet. And within a year, we have several products that we're now offering out of what we got from the Agriculture and Economic Summit. And so we're moving and we're on the move. What we have to begin to learn to do is how to market this and be able to get this where our people can see how they can benefit from and how they can afford it. I think that's is one of our next meetings that we have to begin to talk about planning, Dr. Wrigley, is how do we begin to do that and our people can attach that to themselves.
Well, yes, brother, I agree with you. And, you know, I've been pushing for our ministers of agriculture and coordinators for the staple goods to, you know, go outside of the mosque and to go out into the community to get more customers. And the fact that you all are keeping going the ministries, which is really was not just for the mosque, but it was supposed to be like the LOCs that should be going on anyway. Whether the mosque has got all the nine ministries up, the LOCs should be doing that. They should setting the ministries up. Because those are the things, those are nation-building items, things for people to do, things for people to do, something for our youth to take pride in, to realize that we are trying to build something for them. This is not just preaching, okay? This is about some hard work. But we got to come out behind the walls where we're comfortable at in the mosques and study groups and to go out and work with the people in the communities. Now, what you all are doing there in Greenwood, is it Greenwood or Greenville?
Greenville.
Okay. You know, more people need to know about what you all are doing. And that's what one of our major problems is, how do we get the information out to the people to see that there are some people doing some work so then they can look for those people for an example of what can be done. So we thank you for coming on our program to express or let the people know that there are people out there doing this. I mean, they're not just trying to do it. They are doing this. And therefore, you should study them and talk to them to find out how you can do it. Instead of complaining about the situation, look for those who are trying to do something about the situation so you can learn how to you can either control the community that you're living in, or you can move to a community that you can control. But there are people who are doing the work, and therefore, you need to study and talk with them.
And, you know, there's another component that we want to begin to address, and I think the LOC, we're talking about doing it in 220, that a lot of people, especially the believers, the minister told us about, but you hear us talking very little about it, and I can actually understand. And that is the political aspect of it, and that's in the national agenda as well. And the minister gave that to us in 215 when he said the Justice or Else Party. And so we have to begin to talk about that when we sit down with these politicians. And when we talk about, I mean, because Donald Trump, he ran off an independent party. I even believe that the lady that does the Democratic, the chair over the Democratic Party, Pulaski, she ran off an independent party. I think she came in on the Tea Party. And you see, and so when we think about just Democrat or Republican, we really don't understand the total aspect of what political agendas and politics really mean. And so I think that if we understand what Minister Farrakhan and who he is, and when he says things, he does not say things frivolously, then we'll know that when he says something, it's something to be studied. And that's what I intend to do. I study it, and so I understand what he means. And now we're going to be trying to move forward in 2020 off of that agenda of the political party, Justice or Else.
Well, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Minister Farrakhan, has brought this up again. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he's had a political machine.
Yes.
A political machine is a little different from a political party because the machine can work in any party or your own party.
Yes.
In other words, you're talking about how do you get things done? How do you get people organized around issues? Now, what Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, beware of the national elections, okay? He said get involved on the local level, your county level, your city level, your state level, okay? And we can put people who ain't afraid in these offices, in these counties, where there's predominantly black people in the county, put the right type of people, the sheriff, as the county commissioners, as the city managers, et cetera, put these people in place to start steering some of that public money towards private businesses. That's white folks go in. That's where they go into politics. By the way, and so
that's
they can
right,
steer
brother.
Money to their friends.
That's
public
right,
money
brother.
To their friends. That's what they do. So
that's
we gotta
right,
learn
brother.
That, so we can get people in office, so they can steer that public money, your tax money, to black businesses. And services. So the local, we got to study the power of the county commissioners. The county commissioners is the economic power in the county, not the city council, not the mayor, the county commissioners. So
that's
I want
right.
you to go study what the county commissioners and what their role is in controlling the economic development in your area, okay?
That's
because
right.
that's where the power is. And good old boys will let you have a black mayor, but they ain't going to let you have a black head of the county commissioners. Now, y'all write that down and go talk to people and ask me, am I lying? That the white folks will let you have a black mayor, but they will fight you tooth and nail about having a black head of the county commissioners because the county commissioners has the power in economic development of that area. And for white folks, it's all about money, honey. It's all about the money, honey.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And that's another benefit of what we have here in this area is that up under Brother Minister Stu Minister Larry leadership with this LOC is that we have been working to put those individuals that are in support of what the minister is trying to do, Minister Farrakhan, in office. Right now, other than the reconstruction period, we have more black people in politics than we've ever had. Mississippi has more than any other state. But also, we also have those that are in office that has came up under the minister since 1980. A lot of those that's in office now came up under Minister Farrakhan too, Rich. So they're ready. We just got to be organized so we can move them like we did in Houston. With we call them the 19. It was 19 sisters that ran for judges, and of them, I think we got 17 of them to be elected. And since they have been elected, they have changed the sentencing laws. They have changed the bonding where people they're getting their bonding changes, and so the power is in politics. If you get the numbers, but white folks have always, like you said, fought to make sure that certain positions they always keep. And one of the major ones is that governorship, because every state is a country. That's another thing we don't understand. Every state is a country. Every state has the power to run their own flag, have their own military, and control their own economics. They have the right to tell the federal government, no or yeah, I don't want you to do this. You ain't going to do this or you do. Every state is a country. And so when we begin to control our own state, that's why the minister is telling them that. And we have a – Mississippi is one of the major – we have the capability of doing that if we would only organize and follow up on the minister's leadership.
Well, you know, in case people don't understand what you mean by being our own country, to be more specific, it is – this is a federation of states, and the states are independent. All right?
Yes.
It's a federation. The United States is a federation of states, and the states are independent. They can do a lot of what they will. They have corporations, okay? So we can – now, why did the people in Utah – how did the Mormons take over Utah? See, we need to study that. How they are able to take over Utah. So now we got Mississippi. We got Alabama. We got Georgia. Okay, we got Louisiana, we got South Carolina, where we got a majority, almost majority black populations. But if we would get them organized to stop being cowards and get the toms out the way, we can go ahead on and start moving things our way. Our people right now are moving our way. I got to say this little funny story. I just found this out today. That New York City is actually exporting homeless. They actually are exporting homeless to over 300 cities in the United States, and they're giving them a bus ticket and a meal ticket and giving them rent so they can rent for a year in another city just to get them out of New York. It's cheaper to pay $17,000 of rent than $41,000 to keep them in a homeless shelter in New York City. So it's busted now, you know what I mean? The other cities is upset about that because of New York shipping their homeless down there to them. But so that means that they get out. Well, New York is helping them get out, and what we need to do is have a place for them to come, and not just the homeless, but those people who got skills and can't find a job or retiring. We need to make a place for them so they can come on back down south, and we can
build
something and take over these states.
There you go. There you go.
So, anybody else want to call this?
No, sir. Nobody else. Brothers and sisters, we're down the last 7 minutes. If you guys want to make a quick comment or a quick question, press that one on your dial now. Otherwise, we will continue our dialogue until we run out of time.
Well, Brother Carl, do you got any more questions for Brother Kareem?
Yes, sir. I was going to ask him, I had a question on the tip of my tongue. Brother Kareem, so in terms of the ministries, how are you all organizing your ministries in your local organizing committee?
Praise be to Allah. That was a beautiful question, beloved. And how the minister has taught us to do that is that each organization that comes in has their own mission. And each one of their mission is around one of those ministries. Like if you have Ministry of Education, you have an organization like MBUF that has an African-centric education system that has worked hard in that area. And so if they're sitting at the table, or the National Association for Colored Women, if they're sitting at the table, they have a strong academic program. And so we let them head up the education program, and we just endorse it and support it. Or Save Istin does another organization that comes in that may deal with international trade and commerce. Then we bring that individual as like the All African People Revolutionary Party. They do a lot of international trade and commerce. So they come in, and we work with them on that level, and then bring them in from there and let them do that part of it. And so each month we're supposed to have a town hall meeting around each one of those agendas of those ministries. So if we're dealing with education this month, then whoever chairs the education, then all of us back that, put all our resources behind it. And we begin to, our job in the Nation of Islam is to show the All African People Revolutionary Party, or New Black Panther Party, where they fit in the education system, where they might not see.
Mm.
They just see their small part in just the economic piece. Well, we show where everybody fit in at. And then at the end of the month, now we move that on over to healthcare. And that, and the healthcare industry, now we, they'll see how health is connected to education. And so that's how the nine ministries are connected.
That's beautiful. And hearing you say that, brother, I hear you. You're dealing with some strong local organizations. You got the New Black Panthers. You got NBUF. You got all that. Sound like I heard you say All African People's Revolutionary Party. So as you all stand up and take the lead in this, in helping to direct where people may be best utilized, is there any opposition? Are people, you know, fronting and saying, look, you know, nation is trying to run this thing, you know, we should be doing this? Or are people fairly cooperative with your leadership?
Well, the way that's why under Minister Larry's guidance, that we had to work hard to develop what we call the 3M model. That is the LOC's model. It's called the 3M model: the mission, the model, and the mobilization of the masses. And the mission consists of the executive aspect of it, how the executive board is set up, what is the bylaws of the executive board. And so in that, one of the major factors that the executive board is set up around, there's two chairs. There's a chair that has to come from the Nation of Islam, so that makes sure that Minister Farrakhan and his leadership and what he wants is to be implemented with the 10,000 fitters and things like that. But the other chair is a female mostly, and that individual is a person from the grassroots organization. So now you have a balance there. And with that balance, then now there is no big U's, no little I's. And then you take the national agenda, which is developed around that, and it fits the needs of everybody. And everybody plays a role. The bylaw speaks to that. It speaks to the youth portion of it. It speaks to the secretarial portion of it. It speaks to the program coordinator. Everybody has a role that they play, and their role comes in based on their organization and what their organization already coming there to do.
Praise be to Allah. Did you have a question, Dr. Visually?
No, I just think that's – I hope people heard what he said, because that is so powerful. So instead of you inventing the wheel over again, what you're doing is just placing the people at work doing what they're already doing. So you're getting people already doing things and just putting them in a structure to work with others, but not taking over what they're doing, not trying to dominate them, but to allow them to work out and just put it under the umbrella, but not taking it away from them. So that is so beautiful,
sir,
what you all are doing.
Using
the national agenda. The national agenda is out there for them to use. You just utilize it, what the minister said. You put in that into practice, get your national agenda out, and dust it off, and study it, and make it happen. Go ahead.
And quickly, I just want to say,
yes, sir.
When I was young, if I want to say quickly, and I'll get there. When I was young, I used to always love the Roadrunner. And I used to love the Roadrunner because that coyote would always get real close to catching the Roadrunner, but he would never do it. But one thing I learned from that is that he would always go back and try to redo another project, but he would never improve on what he did because he would always get so close. So I learned from that. He keep reinventing the wheel. I don't believe in reinventing the wheel.
Praise be to
Allah. Just improve on it.
Brother Cream, we're down to our last minute. Brother, I'm sure we have some listeners that may want to be able to keep up with you all's success or contact you to get more information. How may our listeners best contact you or your local organizing committee?
Okay. Well, my number is 662-577-1258. You can also get us at Gmail at greenvilleloc@gmail.com. And we also on LOC Facebook. That's greenvilleloc@gmail.com. And we're also on Facebook. Yeah, we're also on Facebook at LOC Greenville LOC. Facebook. All you have to do is just pull up Greenville LLC.
Well, Brother Kareem, this was a follow-up interview of the one we did back in June, and this one was just as exciting and informative. It's encouraging to hear what our brothers and sisters are doing there in the Delta, and I want to thank you for taking the time to share with us, brother. And I pray Allah bless you all and with very much success.
And thank you, brother, for the opportunity once again, as I always say. It's always a good to be able to serve the Honorable Mr. Farrakhan.
Praise be to Allah. As-salamu
alaykum. Wa alaykum as-salam.
Lord.